Help me get him up. Chris has paled. Maybe we should call. Chris, man, come on.
Chris inches over and the two of them sit Devante up against the bed. His nose is swollen and bruised, and his upper lip has a nasty cut. Chris passes him the towel.
Dude, what happened? I walked into King's Fist, man. What do you think happened? They jumped me.
I couldn't stop them,
Kenya says, all stuffed up sounding like she's been crying.
I'm so sorry, Devante.
This shit ain't your fault, Kenya,
Devante says.
Are you all right?
She sniffs and wipes her nose on her arm.
I'm okay.
He only pushed me. Seven's eyes flash.
Who pushed you? She tried to stop them from beating my ass,
Devante says.
King got mad and pushed her out the...
Seven marches to the door. I catch his arm and dig my feet into the carpet to keep him from moving, but he ends up pulling me with him. Kenya grabs his other arm. In this moment, he's our brother, not just mine or hers.
Seven, no, I say.
He tries to pull away, but my grip and Kenya's grip are steel.
You go out there and you're dead.
His jaw is hard. His shoulders are tense. His narrowed eyes are set on the doorway.
Let me go,
he says.
Seven, I'm okay, I promise,
Kenya says. But Star's right. We gotta get Vante out of here before they kill him. They just waiting for the sun to set.
He put his hands on you,
Seven snarls.
I said I wouldn't let that happen again.
We know, I say. But please don't go back there.
I hate stopping him because I promise I want somebody to whoop King's ass. It can't be Seven. No way in hell. I can't lose him too. I'd never be normal again. He snatches away from us, and the sting that would usually come with that gesture is missing. I understand his frustration like it's mine. The back door squeaks and slams closed.
Shit. We freeze.
Feet thump against the floor, drawing nearer. Aisha appears in the doorway. Nobody speaks. She stares at us, sipping from a red plastic cup. Her lip is curled up slightly, and she takes her sweet time to speak, like she's getting a kick out of our fear. Chomping on some ice, she looks at Chris and says,
Who this little white boy y'all done brought up in my house?
Aisha smirks and eyes me.
I bet he yours, ain't he? That's what happens when you go to them white folks' schools.
She leans against the door frame. Her gold bracelets jingle as she lifts her cup to her lips again.
I would have paid to see Maverick's face the day you brought this one home. Shit. I'm surprised Seven got a black girl.
At his name, Seven snaps out his trance.
Can you help us?
Help you? She echoes with a laugh. What? With Devante? What I look like helping him?
Mama.
Now I'm Mama, she says. What happened to that Aisha shit from the other week, huh? Seven? See, baby, you don't know how the game work. Let Mama explain something to you, okay? When Devante stole from King, he earned an ass-whooping. He got one. Anybody who helps him is asking for it, too, and they better be able to handle it.
She looks at me. That goes for dry snitches, too. All it takes is her hollering for King. Her eyes flick toward the back door. The music and laughter rise in the air.
I tell y'all what, she says. And turns to us. Y'all better get Devante's sorry ass out my bedroom. Bleeding on my carpet and shit. Ain't got the nerve to use one of my damn towels? Matter of fact, get him and that snitch out my house.
Seven says, What?
You deaf too? She says. I said, get them out my house. And take your sisters.
What I gotta take them for?
Seven says.
Because I said so. Take them to your grandma's or something, I don't care. Get them out my face. I'm trying to get my party on. Shit.
When none of us move, she says,
go.
I'll get Lyric, Kenya says, and leaves. Chris and Seven each take one of Devante's hands and pull him up. Devante winces and cusses the whole way. Once on his feet, he bends over, holding his side, but slowly straightens up and takes steadying breaths. He nods.
I'm good. Just sore.
Hurry up, Aisha says. Damn, I'm tired of looking at y'all.
Seven's glare says what he doesn't. Devante insists he can walk, but Seven and Chris lend their shoulders for support anyway. Kenya's already at the front door with Lyric on her hip. I hold the door open for all of them and look toward the backyard.
Shit, King's rising off his throne.
Aisha goes out the back door, and she's in his face before he can fully stand up. She grabs his shoulders and guides him back down, whispering in his ear. He smiles widely and leans back into his chair. She turns around, so her back is to him, the view he really wants, and starts dancing. He smacks her ass. She looks my way. I doubt she can see me, but I don't think I'm one of the people she's trying to see anyway. They've gone to the car. Suddenly I get it.
Star, come on,
Seven calls. I jump off the porch. Seven holds his seat forward for me and Chris to climb in the back with his sisters. Once we're in, he drives off.
We gotta get you to the hospital, Vante,
he says. Devante presses the towel against his nose and looks at the blood staining it.
I'll be all right, he says,
like that quick observation tells him what a doctor can't.
We lucky Aisha helped us, man, for real.
Seven snorts.
She wasn't helping us. Somebody could be bleeding to death and she would be more worried about her carpet and getting her party on.
My brother is smart. So smart that he's dumb. He's been hurt by his mama so much that when she does something right, he's blind to it. Seven, she did help us, I say. Think about it. Why did she tell you to take your sisters too?
'Cause she didn't want to be bothered, as always.
No. She knows King will go off when he sees Devante's gone, I say. If Kenya's not there, Lyric's not there, who do you think he's gonna take it out on? He says nothing. Then,
shit.
The car makes an abrupt stop, lurching us forward, then sideways as Seven makes a wide U-turn. He hits the gas and houses blur past us.
Seven, no! Kenya says, we can't go back.
I'm supposed to protect her.
No, you're not, I say. She's supposed to protect you, and she's trying to do that now. The car slows down. It comes to a complete stop a few houses away from Aisha's.
If he...
Seven swallows.
If she... He'll kill her.
He won't, Kenya says. She's lasted this long. Let her do this, Seven. A Tupac song on the radio makes up for our silence. He raps about how we gotta start making changes. Khalil was right. Pac's still relevant.
All right,
Seven says, and he makes another U-turn.
All right.
The song fades off.
This is the hottest station in the nation, Hot 105, the DJ says. If you're just tuning in, the grand jury has decided not to indict Officer Brian Cruz, Jr. in the death of Khalil Harris. Our thoughts and prayers are with the Harris family. Stay safe out there, y'all.
23. It's a quiet ride to Seven's grandma's house. I told the truth. I did everything I was supposed to do, and it wasn't fucking good enough. Khalil's death wasn't horrible enough to be considered a crime. But damn, what about his life? He was once a walking, talking human being. He had family. He had friends. He had dreams. None of it fucking mattered. He was just a thug who deserved to die. Car horns honk around us. Drivers shout the decision to the rest of the neighborhood. Some kids around my age stand on top of a car as they shout, "Justice for Khalil!" Seven maneuvers around it all and parks in his grandma's driveway. He's silent and unmoving at first. Suddenly he punches the steering wheel.
Fuck!
Devante shakes his head.
This is some bullshit.
Fuck! Seven croaks. He covers his eyes and rocks back and forth.
Fuck! Fuck! Fuck!
I want to cry too. Just can't.
I don't understand, Chris says. He killed Khalil. He should go to prison.
They never do, Kenya mutters. Seven hastily wipes his face.
Fuck this, Star. Whatever you want to do, I'm down. You want to burn some shit up, we'll burn some shit up. Give the word.
Dude, are you crazy?
Chris says. Seven turns around.
You don't get it, so shut up. Star, what you want to do?
Anything. Everything. Scream, cry, puke, hit somebody, burn something, throw something. They gave me the hate, and now I want to fuck everybody, even if I'm not sure how. I want to do something, I say. Protest, riot, I don't care.
Riot?
Chris echoes.
Hell yeah, Devante gives me dap. That's what I'm talking about.
Star. Think about this, Chris says. That won't solve anything.
And neither did talking, I snap. I did everything right, and it didn't make a fucking difference. I've gotten death threats, cops harassed my family, somebody shot into my house, all kinds of shit. And for what? Justice Khalil won't get? They don't give a fuck about us, so fine. I no longer give a fuck.
But,
Chris... I don't need you to agree, I say, my throat tight. Just try to understand how I feel, please. He closes and opens his mouth a couple of times. No response. Seven gets out and holds his seat forward.
Come on, Lyric, Kenya. You staying here or you coming with us?
Staying, Kenya says, her eyes wet from earlier. In case Mama shows up. Seven nods heavily.
Good idea. She'll need somebody.
Lyric climbs off Kenya's lap and runs up the walkway. Kenya hesitates. She looks back at me. I'm sorry, Star, she says. This ain't right. She follows Lyric to the front door, and their grandma lets them inside. Seven returns to the driver's seat.
Chris, you want me to take you home? I'm staying,
Chris nods, as if he's settling with himself.
Yeah, I'm staying. You sure you up for this? Devante asks. It's gonna get wild out here.
I'm sure. He eyes me.
I want everyone to know that decision is bullshit.
He puts his hand on the seat with his palm facing up. I put my hand on his. Seven cranks up the car and backs out the driveway.
Somebody check Twitter, find out where everything's going down. I got you.
Devante holds up his phone.
Folks headed to Magnolia. That's where a lot of shit happened last.
He winces and grabs his side.
Are you up for this, Vante?
Chris asks. Devante straightens up.
Yeah. I got beat worse than this when I got initiated.
How'd they get you anyway? I ask.
Yeah, Uncle Carlos said you walked off, says Seven. That's a long-ass walk.
Man, Devante groans in that Devante way. I wanted to visit Dalvin. I took the bus to the cemetery. I hate that he by himself in the garden. I didn't want him to be lonely, if that makes sense. I try not to think about Khalil being alone in Garden Heights. now that Miss Rosalie and Cameron are going to New York with Miss Tammy, and I'm leaving too.
It makes sense.
Devante presses the towel against his nose and lip. The bleeding slacked up.
Before I could catch the bus back, King's boy snatched me up. I thought I'd be dead by now, for real.
Well, I'm glad you're not, Chris says. Gives me more time to beat you in Madden.
Devante smirks.
You a crazy-ass white boy if you think that's gonna happen.
Cars are up and down Magnolia like it's a Saturday morning and the dope boys are showing off. Music blasts, horns blare, people hang out car windows, stand on the hoods. The sidewalks are packed. It's hazy out, and flames lick the sky in the distance. I tell Seven to park at Just Us for Justice. The windows are boarded up, and Black Owned is spray-painted across them. Ms. Ofra said they would be leading protests around the city if the grand jury didn't indict. We head down the sidewalk, just walking with no particular place to go. It's more crowded than I realized. About half the neighborhood is out here. I throw my hoodie over my hair and keep my head down. No matter what that grand jury decided, I'm still Star, who was with Khalil, and I don't want to be seen tonight. Just heard. A couple of folks glance at Chris with that, "What the hell is this white boy doing out here?" look. He stuffs his hands in his pockets.
"Guess I'm noticeable, huh?"
he says. "You sure you want to be out here?" I ask.
"This is kind of how it is for you and Seven at Williamson, right?"
"A lot like that," Seven says.
"Then I can deal."
The crowds are too thick. We climb on top of a bus stop bench to get a better view of everything going on. King lords in gray bandanas and garden disciples in green bandanas stand on a police car in the middle of the street chanting, "Justice for Khalil!" People gathered around the car record the scene with their phones and throw rocks at the windows.
"Fuck that cop, bruh,"
a guy says, gripping a baseball bat.
"Killed him over nothing."
He slams the bat into the driver's side window, shattering the glass. It's on. The King Lords and GDs stomp out the front window. Then somebody yells, "Flip that motherfucker!" The gangbangers jump off. People line up on one side of the car. I stare at the lights on the top, remembering the ones that flashed behind me and Khalil, and watch them disappear as they flip the car onto its back. Someone shouts, "Watch out!" A Molotov cocktail sails toward the car. Then, woof! It bursts into flames. The crowd cheers. People say misery loves company, but I think it's like that with anger, too. I'm not the only one pissed. Everyone around me is. They didn't have to be sitting in the passenger seat when it happened. My anger is theirs, and theirs is mine. A car stereo loudly plays a record-scratching sound. Then Ice Cube says, "Fuck the police. Coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad 'cause I'm brown." You'd think it was a concert the way people react, rapping along and jumping to the beat. Devante and Seven yell out the lyrics. Chris nods along and mumbles the words. He goes silent every time Cube says nigga, as he should. When that hook hits, a collective, "Fuck the police!" thunders off Magnolia Avenue, probably loud enough to reach the heavens. I yell it out, too. Part of me is like, "What about Uncle Carlos the cop?" But this isn't about him or his co-workers who do their jobs right. This is about 115, those detectives with their bullshit questions, and those cops who made Daddy lie on the ground. Fuck them! Glass shatters. I stop rapping. A block away, people throw rocks and garbage cans at the windows of the McDonald's and the drugstore next to it. One time, I had a really bad asthma attack that put me in the emergency room. My parents and I didn't leave the hospital until like 3 in the morning, and we were starving by then. Mama and I grabbed hamburgers at that McDonald's and ate while Daddy got my prescription from the pharmacy. The glass doors at the drugstore shatter completely. People rush in and eventually come back out with arms full of stuff.
Stop!
I yell. And others say the same, but looters continue to run in. A glow of orange bursts inside, and all those people rush out.
Holy shit,
Chris says. In no time, the building is in flames.
Hell yeah, says Devante. Burn that bitch down!
I remember the look on Daddy's face the day Mr. Wyatt handed him the keys to the grocery store. Mr. Reuben and all those pictures on his walls, showing years and years of a legacy he's built. Ms. Yvette walking into her shop every morning, yawning. Even pain in the ass Mr. Lewis with his top-of-the-line haircuts. Glass shatters at the pawn shop on the next block, then at the beauty supply store near it. Flames pour out both, and people cheer. A new battle cry starts up. The roof, the roof, the roof is on fire. We don't need no water, let that motherfucker burn. I'm just as pissed as anybody, but this isn't it. Not for me. Devante's right there with them, yelling out the new chant. I backhand his arm.
What?
He says. Chris nudges my side.
Guys.
A few blocks away, a line of cops in riot gear march down the street, followed closely by two tanks with bright lights.
This is not a peaceful assembly,
an officer on a loudspeaker says.
Disperse now or you will be subject to arrest.
The original battle cry starts up again.
Fuck the police! Fuck the police!
People hurl rocks and glass bottles at the cops.
Yo, Seven says.
Stop throwing objects at law enforcement,
the officer says.
Exit the streets immediately or you will be subject to arrest.
The rocks and bottles continue to fly. Seven hops off the bench.
Come on, he says, as Chris and I climb off too. We need to get out of here.
Fuck the police! Fuck the police!
Devante continues to shout.
Vante, man, come on, says Seven.
I ain't scared of them. Fuck the police!
There's a loud pop. An object sails into the air, lands in the middle of the street, and explodes in a ball of fire.
Oh, shit, Devante says.
He hops off the bench and we run. It's damn near a stampede on the sidewalk. Cars speed away in the street. It sounds like the 4th of July behind us. Pop after pop after pop. Smoke fills the air. More glass shatters. The pops get closer and the smoke thickens. Flames eat away at the cash advance place. Just Us for Justice is fine, though. So is the car wash on the other side of it. Black-owned, spray-painted on one of its walls. We hop into Seven's Mustang. He speeds out the back entrance of the old Taco Bell parking lot, hitting the next street over.
The hell just happened, he says.
Chris slumps in his seat.
I don't know. I don't want it to happen again, though.
Niggas tired of taking shit, Devante says, between heavy breaths.
Like Star said, they don't give a fuck about us, so we don't give a fuck. Burn this bitch down. But they don't live here. Seven says, they don't give a damn what happens to this neighborhood.
What we supposed to do then? Devante snaps. All that kumbaya peaceful shit clearly don't work.
They don't listen till we tear something up.
Those businesses, though, I say.
What about them? Devante asks. My mama used to work at that McDonald's and they barely paid her. That pawn shop ripped us off a hell of a lot of times. Nah, I don't give a fuck about neither one of them bitches.
I get it. Daddy almost lost his wedding ring to that pawn shop once. He actually threatened to burn it down. Kinda ironic it's burning now. But if the looters decide to ignore the black-owned tags, they could end up hitting our store. We need to go help Daddy.
What?
Seven says. We need to go help Daddy protect the store. In case looters show up. Seven wipes his face.
Shit, you're probably right. Ain't nobody gonna touch Big Mav, says Devante.
You don't know that, I say. People are pissed, Devante. They're not thinking shit out, they're doing shit.
Devante eventually nods.
Aight, fine. Let's go help Big Mav.
Think you'll be okay with me helping out? Chris asks.
He didn't seem to like me last time.
Seem to, Devante repeats.
He straight up mean mugged your ass. I was there. I remember.
Seven snickers. I smack Devante and tell him, shush.
What? It's true. He was mad as hell that Chris is white. But hey, you spit that NWA shit like you did back there, maybe he'll think you alright.
What?
Surprised a white boy knows NWA?
Chris teases.
Man, you ain't white. You light-skinned.
Agreed, I say.
Wait, Seven says over our laughter. We gotta test him to see if he really is black. Chris, you eat green bean casserole?
Hell no, that shit's disgusting.
The rest of us lose it, saying, he's black! He's black! Wait, one more, I say. Macaroni and cheese. Full meal or a side dish?
Chris's
eyes dart around at us. Devante mimics the Jeopardy music.
How to earn a black card for 300, Alex? Seven says in an announcer's voice.
Chris finally answers.
Full meal.
The rest of us groan.
Whoop, whoop, whoop,
Devante adds.
Guys, it is. Think about it. You get protein, calcium.
Protein is meat, Devante says, not no damn cheese. I wish somebody would give me some macaroni, calling it a meal.
It's like the easiest, quickest meal ever, though,
Chris says. One box and you're... And that's the problem, I say. Real macaroni and cheese doesn't come from a box, babe. It eventually comes from an oven with a crust bubbling on top.
Amen.
Seven holds his fist to me and I bump it.
Oh, Chris says. You mean the kind with the breadcrumbs?
What?
Devante yells, and Seven goes,
breadcrumbs?
Nah, I say. I mean there's like a crust of cheese on top. We gotta get you to a soul food restaurant, babe.
This fool said breadcrumbs.
Devante sounds seriously offended.
Breadcrumbs!
The car stops. Up ahead, a road closed sign blocks the street with a cop car in front of it.
Damn,
Seven says, backing up and turning around.
Gotta find another way to the store.
They probably got a lot of roadblocks around the neighborhood tonight, I tell him.
Fucking breadcrumbs!
Devante still can't get over it.
I swear, I don't understand white people. Breadcrumbs on macaroni? Kissing dogs on the mouth?
Treating their dogs like they're their kids? I add.
Yeah, says Devante. Purposely doing shit that could kill them. Like bungee jumping. Calling Target Tarjay. Like that makes it fancier, says Seven.
Fuck, Chris mutters. That's what my mom calls it.
Seven and I bust out laughing.
Saying dumb shit to their parents, Devante continues, splitting up in situations when they clearly need to stick together.
Chris goes,
huh?
Babe, come on, I say. White people always want to split up, and when they do, something bad happens.
That's only in horror movies, though,
he says.
Nah, shit like that is always on the news, says Devante. They go on a hiking trip, split up, and a bear kills somebody. Car breaks down, they split up to find help, and a serial killer murders somebody, Seven adds. Like, have y'all ever heard that there's power in numbers? Devante asks. For real, though.
Okay, fine, Chris says.
Since you guys want to go there with white people, can I ask a question about black people?
Cue the record scratching. No lie, all three of us turn and look at him, including Seven. The car veers off to the side of the road, scraping against the curb. Seven cusses and gets it back on the street.
I mean, it's only fair, Chris mumbles.
Guys, he's right, I say. He should be able to ask.
Fine, says Seven. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay.
Why do some black people give their kids odd names? I mean, look at you guys' names. They're not normal.
My name normal, Devante says, all puffed up sounding. I don't know what you talking about.
Man, you named after a dude from Jodeci, Seven says.
And you named after a number. What's your middle name, 8?
Anyway, Chris, Seven says, Devante's got a point. What makes his name or our names any less normal than yours? Who or what defines normal to you? If my pops were here, he'd say you've fallen into the trap of the white standard.
Color creeps into Chris's neck and face.
I didn't mean... Okay, maybe normal isn't the right word.
Nope, I say.
I guess uncommon is the word instead, he asks. You guys have uncommon names.
I know about 3 other Devantes in the neighborhood, though, says Devante.
Right is about perspective, says Seven. Plus, most of the names white people think are unusual actually have meanings in various African languages.
And let's be real, some white people give their kids uncommon names too, I say. That's not limited to black people. Just because it doesn't have a D or a la on the front doesn't make it okay.
Chris nods. True enough. Why you have to use D as an example, though? Devante asks.
We stop again. Another roadblock.
Shit. Seven hisses. I gotta go the long way. Through the east side.
East side? Devante says. That's GD territory.
And that's where most of the riots happened last time, I remind them.
Chris shakes his head. Nope. Can't go there, then. Nobody's thinking about gangbanging tonight, Seven says. And as long as I stay away from the major streets, we'll be all right.
Gunshots go off close by. A little too close by. And all of us jump. Chris actually yelps. Seven swallows.
Yeah. We'll be all right.
24. Because Seven said we'd be all right, everything goes wrong. Most of the routes through the east side are blocked off by police, and it takes Seven forever to find one that isn't. About halfway to the store, the car grunts and slows down.
Come on, Seven says.
He rubs the dashboard and pumps the gas.
Come on, baby.
His baby basically says, fuck it, and stops.
Shit.
Seven rests his head on the steering wheel.
We're out of gas.
You're kidding, right? Chris says.
I wish, man. It was low when we left your house, but I thought I could wait a while before I got gas. I know my car.
You obviously don't know shit, I say. We're next to some duplex houses. I don't know what street this is. I'm not familiar with the east side like that. Sirens go off nearby, and it's as hazy and smoky as the rest of the neighborhood.
There's a gas station not too far from here, Seven says. Chris, can you help me push it?
As in, get out the protection of this car and push it? Chris asked.
Yeah, that. It'll be all right. Seven hops out.
That's what you said before, Chris mumbles.
But he climbs out.
Devante says, I can push too.
Nah, man, you need to rest up, says Seven.
Just sit back, Star, get behind the wheel.
This is the first time he's ever let anyone else drive his baby. He tells me to put the car in neutral and guide it with the steering wheel. He pushes next to me. Chris pushes on the passenger side.
He constantly glances over his shoulder. The sirens get louder and the smoke thickens. Seven and Chris cough and cover their noses with their shirts. A pickup truck full of mattresses and people speeds by. We reach a slight hill, and Seven and Chris jog to keep up with the car.
"Slow down, slow down," Seven yells.
I pump the brakes. The car stops at the bottom of the hill. Seven coughs into his shirt.
"Hold on, I need a minute."
I put the car in park. Chris bends over, trying to catch his breath.
"The smoke is killing me," he says.
Seven straightens up and slowly blows air out his mouth.
"Shit. We'll get to the gas station faster if we leave the car. The two of us can't push it all the way."
"The hell? I'm sitting right here. I can push."
"I know that, Star. Even if you did, we'll still be faster without it. Damn. I don't want to leave it here, though."
"How about we split up?" Chris says. "Two of us stay here, and two of us go get some gas. And this is that white people shit you guys were talking about, isn't it?"
"Yes," the rest of us say.
"Told you,"
says Devante. Seven folds his hands and rests them on top of his dreads.
"Fuck, fuck, fuck!
We gotta leave it." I get Seven's keys, and he grabs a gas can from the trunk. He caresses the car and whispers something to it. I think he says he loves it and promises to come back. Lord. The four of us start down the sidewalk and pull our shirts over our mouths and noses. Devante limps, but swears he's all right. A voice in the distance says something I can't make out, and there's a thunderous response, like from a crowd. Chris and I walk behind the other two. His hand falls to his side, and he brushes up against me, his sly way of trying to hold my hand. I let him.
"So this is where you used to live?" he says.
I forgot this is his first time in Garden Heights. "Yeah, well, not this side of the neighborhood. I'm from the west side."
"West side?" Seven says, as Devante throws up a W. "The best side!"
"On my mama," Devante adds.
I roll my eyes. People go too far with that "what side of the neighborhood you from" mess. "You saw that big apartment complex we passed? Those are the projects we lived in when I was younger." Chris nods.
"That place where we parked? Was that the Taco Bell your dad took you and Seven to?"
"Yeah, they opened a new one closer to the freeway a few years ago."
"Maybe we can go there one day," he says.
"Bruh," Devante butts in. "Please tell me you ain't considering taking your girl to Taco Bell for a date."
"Taco Bell?"
Seven hollers, laughing. "Excuse me, was anybody talking to y'all?" I ask.
"Hey, you my friend. I'm trying to help you out," says Devante.
"Your boy ain't got no game."
"I have game," Chris says. "I'm letting my girl know I'm happy to go with her anywhere, no matter what neighborhood it's in. As long as she's there, I'm good."
He smiles at me without showing his teeth. I do too.
"Psh, it's still Taco Bell," says Devante. "By the end of the night, it'll be Taco Hell with them bubble guts."
The voice is a bit louder now, not clear yet. A man and a woman run by on the sidewalk, pushing two shopping carts with flat-screen TVs in them.
"They wildin' out here," Devante says with a chuckle, but grabs his side. "King kicked you, didn't he?" Seven says, "with those big-ass Tims on, right?"
Devante whistles a breath out. He nods.
"Yeah. He did that to my mama once. Broke most of her ribs."
A Rottweiler on a leash in a fenced-in yard barks and struggles to come after us. I stomp my foot at it. It squeals and jumps back.
"She's all right," Seven says,
though it seems like he's trying to convince himself.
"Yeah, she's fine."
A block away, People stand around in a four-way intersection, watching something on one of the other streets.
You need to exit the street,
a voice announces from a loudspeaker.
You are unlawfully blocking traffic.
A hairbrush is not a gun. A hairbrush is not a gun,
a voice chants from another loudspeaker. It's echoed back by a crowd. We get to the intersection. A red, green, and yellow school bus is parked on the street to our right. It says, Just Us for Justice, on the side. A large crowd is gathered in the street to our left. They point black hairbrushes into the air. The protesters are on Carnation, where it happened. I haven't been back here since that night. Knowing this is where Khalil... I stare too hard. The crowd disappears. And I see him lying in the street. The whole thing plays out before my eyes like a horror movie on repeat. He looks at me for the last time and...
A hairbrush is not a gun!
The voice snaps me from my daze. Ahead of the crowd, a lady with twists stands on top of a police car, holding a bullhorn. She turns toward us, her fist raised for black power. Khalil smiles on the front of her t-shirt.
Ain't that your attorney, Star?
Seven asks. Yeah. Now, I knew Miss Ofra was about that radical life, but when you think attorney, you don't really think person standing on a police car with a bullhorn, you know?
Disperse immediately,
the officer repeats. I can't see him for the crowd. Miss Ofra leads the chant again.
A hairbrush is not a gun! A hairbrush is not a gun!
It's contagious and echoes all around us. Seven, Devante, and Chris join in. A hairbrush is not a gun, I mutter. Khalil drops it into the side of the door. A hairbrush is not a gun. He opens the door to ask if I'm okay. Then pow, pow!
A hairbrush is not a gun!
I scream loud as I can, fist high in the air, tears in my eyes.
I'm going to invite Sister Freeman to come up and give a word about the injustice that took place tonight, Miss Ofra says.
She hands the bullhorn to a lady who's also in a Khalil shirt, and she hops off the patrol car. The crowd lets her through, and Miss Ofra heads toward another co-worker who's standing near the bus at the intersection. She spots me and does a double take.
Star, she says, making her way over. What are you doing out here?
When they announced the decision, I wanted to do something. So we came to the neighborhood. She eyes beat up Devante.
Oh my God, did you get caught in the riots?
Devante touches his face.
Damn, I look that bad?
That's not why he looks like that, I tell her. But we did get caught in the riots on Magnolia. It got crazy over there. Looters took over.
Miss Ofra purses her lips. Yeah, we heard. Just Us for Justice was fine when we left, Seven says. Even if it's not, it's okay, says Miss Ofra. You can destroy wood and brick, but you can't destroy a movement. Star, does your mother know you're out here?
Yeah. Don't even sound convincing to myself.
Really?
Okay, no. Please don't tell her.
I have to, she says. As your attorney, I have to do what's in your best interest. Your mom, knowing you're out here, is in your best interest.
No, it's not, 'cause she'll kill me. But you're my attorney, not hers. Can't this be a client confidentiality thing?
Star.
Please? During the other protests, I watched and talked. So now I want to do something.
Who said talking isn't doing something? She says. It's more productive than silence. Remember what I told you about your voice?
You said it's my biggest weapon.
And I mean that.
She stares at me a second. then sighs out her nose. You want to fight the system tonight? I nod.
Come on, then.
Miss Ofra takes my hand and leads me through the crowd.
Fire me, she says.
Huh?
Tell me you no longer want me to represent you.
I no longer want you to represent me? I ask.
Good. As of now, I'm not your attorney, so if your parents find out about this, I didn't do it as your attorney, but as an activist. You saw that bus near the intersection?
Yeah.
If the officers react, run straight to it. Got it?
But what? She takes me to the patrol car and motions at her colleague. The lady climbs off and hands Miss Ofra the bullhorn. Miss Ofra passes it over to me.
Use your weapon, she says.
Another one of her co-workers lifts me and sets me on top of the cop car. About 10 feet away, there's a shrine for Khalil in the middle of the street. Lit candles, teddy bears, framed pictures, and balloons. It separates the protesters from a cluster of officers in riot gear. It's not nearly as many cops as it was on Magnolia, but still, they're cops. I turn toward the crowd. They watch me expectantly. The bullhorn is as heavy as a gun. Ironic, since Miss Ofra said to use my weapon. I have the hardest time lifting it. Shit. I have no idea what to say. I put it near my mouth and press the button.
My!
It makes a loud, ear-splitting noise.
Don't be scared! Somebody in the crowd yells. Speak! You need to exit the street immediately, the cop says.
You know what? Fuck it.
My name is Star. I'm the one who saw what happened to Khalil, I say into the bullhorn. And it wasn't right.
I get a bunch of yes and amens from the crowd.
We weren't doing anything wrong. Not only did Officer Cruz assume we were up to no good, he assumed we were criminals. Well, Officer Cruz is the criminal.
The crowd cheers and claps. Miss Ofra says, speak. That amps me up. I turn to the cops.
I'm sick of this. Just like y'all think all of us are bad because of some people, we think the same about y'all. Until you give us a reason to think otherwise, we'll keep protesting.
More cheers. And I can't lie, it eggs me on. Forget trigger happy. Speaker happy is more my thing.
Everybody wants to talk about how Khalil died, I say. But this isn't about how Khalil died. It's about the fact that he lived. His life mattered. Khalil lived.
I look at the cops again.
You hear me? Khalil lived. You have until the count of three to disperse,
the officer on the loudspeaker says.
Khalil lived, we chant. One. Khalil lived. Two. Khalil lived. Three. Khalil lived.
The can of tear gas sails toward us from the cops. It lands beside the patrol car. I jump off and pick up the can. Smoke whizzes out the end of it. Any second, it'll combust. I scream at the top of my lungs, hoping Khalil hears me, and chuck it back at the cops. It explodes and consumes them in a cloud of tear gas. All hell breaks loose. The cops stampede over Khalil's shrine, and the crowd runs. Someone grabs my arm, Ms. Ofra.
Go to the bus, she says.
I get about halfway there when Chris and Seven catch me.
Come on,
Seven says, and they pull me with them. I try to tell them about the bus, but explosions go off and thick white smoke engulfs us. My nose and throat burn as if I swallowed fire. My eyes feel like flames lick them. Something whizzes overhead. Then an explosion goes off in front of us. More smoke.
Devante!
Chris croaks, looking around. Devante! We find him leaning against a flickering street light. He coughs and heaves. Seven lets me go and grabs him by the arm.
Shit, man, my eyes. I can't breathe.
We run. Chris grips my hand as tight as I grip his. There are screams and loud pops in every direction. Can't see a thing for the smoke, not even the Just Us bus.
I can't run. My side, Devante says. Shit. Come on, man,
Seven says, pulling him.
Keep going.
Bright lights barrel down the street through the smoke. A gray pickup truck on oversized wheels. It stops beside us, the window rolls down, and my heart stops, waiting for the gun to come pointing out, courtesy of a King Lord. But Goon, the Cedar Grove King Lord with the ponytails, looks at us from the driver's seat, a gray bandana over his nose and mouth.
Get in the back, he says.
Two guys and a girl around our age, wearing white bandanas on their faces, help us into the back of the truck. It's an open invitation and other people climb in, like this white man in a shirt and tie, and a Latino holding a camera on his shoulder. The white man looks oddly familiar. Goon drives off. Devante lies in the bed of the truck. He holds his eyes and rolls in agony.
Shit, man. Shit.
Bree, get him some milk, Goon says through the back window.
Milk?
We're out, Unc, says the girl in the bandana.
Fuck,
Goon hisses.
Hold on, Vante.
Tears and snot drip down my face. My eyes are damn near numb from burning. The truck slows down.
Get little homie, Goon says.
The two guys in the bandanas grab some kid on the street by his arms and lift him into the truck. The kid looks around 13. His shirt is covered in soot, and he coughs and heaves. I get into a coughing fit. Snorting is like hacking up hot coals. The man in the shirt and tie hands me his dampened handkerchief.
It'll help some, he says. Put it against your nose and breathe through it.
It gives me a small amount of clean air. I pass it to Chris. He uses it. Passes it to Seven beside him. Seven uses it and passes it to someone else.
As you can see, Jim, the man says, looking at the camera, there are a lot of youth out here protesting tonight, black and white.
I'm the token, huh? Chris mutters to me before coughing. I'd laugh if it didn't hurt.
And you have people like this gentleman, going around the neighborhood, helping out where they can, the white man says. Driver, what's your name?
The Latino turns the camera toward Goon.
Nanya, Goon says. Thank you, Nanya, for giving us a ride.
Wow. I realize why he looks familiar, though. He's a national news anchor. Brian somebody.
This young lady here made a powerful statement earlier, he says.
And the camera points toward me.
Are you really the witness?
I nod. No point hiding anymore.
We caught what you said back there. Anything else you'd like to add for our viewers?
Yeah.
None of this makes sense.
I start coughing again. He leaves me alone. When my eyes aren't closed, I see what my neighborhood has become. More tanks, more cops in riot gear, more smoke. Businesses ransacked. Streetlights are out, and fires keep everything from being in complete darkness. People run out of the Walmart and carry armfuls of items, looking like ants rushing from an anthill. The untouched businesses have boarded up windows and graffiti that says, Black Owned. We eventually turn onto Marigold Avenue. And even with the fire in my lungs, I take a deep breath. Our store is in one piece. The windows are boarded up with that same black-owned tag on them, like it's lamb's blood protecting the store from the plague of death. The street is pretty still. Top Shelf Spirits and Wine is the only business with broken windows. It doesn't have a black-owned tag, either. Goon stops in front of our store. He jumps out, comes to the back of the truck, and helps everyone out.
Star, Sev, y'all got a key?
I pat my pockets for Seven's keys and toss them to Goon. He tries each key until one unlocks the door.
In here, y'all, he says.
Everyone, including the cameraman and reporter, go in the store. Goon and one of the guys in the bandana get Devante and carry him inside. No sign of Daddy. I crawl onto the floor and fall on my stomach, blinking fast. My eyes burn and fill with tears. Goon sets Devante on the old people's bench before running toward the refrigerator. He rushes back with a gallon of milk and pours it into Devante's face. The milk momentarily turns him white. Devante coughs and sputters. Goon pours more.
Stop, Devante says. You're about to drown me. I bet your eyes ain't hurt no more, though, Goon replies.
I half crawl, half run to the refrigerators and get a gallon for myself. I pour it on my face. The relief comes in seconds. People pour milk onto their faces while the cameraman records it all. An older lady drinks from a gallon. Milk pools on the floor, and a college-aged guy lies face down in it and gasps for air. When people get the relief they need, they leave. Goon grabs a bunch of cartons of milk and asks,
Hey, can we take this in case somebody needs it on the street?
Seven nods and sips from a carton.
Thanks, little homie. If I see your pops again, I'll tell him y'all here.
You saw our... I cough and sip some milk, dousing the flames in my lungs. You saw our dad?
Yeah, a little while ago. He was looking for y'all.
Oh, shit. Sir, the reporter says to Goon, can we ride along? We'd like to see more of the neighborhood.
Ain't no thing, homie. Hop in the back.
He turns to the camera and twists his fingers so they resemble a K and an L.
See the Grove Kings, baby. Crowns up. Adio.
He gives the King Lord call. Leave it to Goon to throw gang signs on live TV. They leave us alone in the store. Seven, Chris, and I are in the pool of milk with our knees up to our chests. Devante's arms and legs dangle off the old people's bench. He chugs back some milk. Seven takes his phone from his pocket.
Damn, my phone's dead. Star, you got yours?
Yeah, I have way too many voicemails and way too many texts, most of them from Mama. I play the voicemails first. They start out safe enough with Mama saying, Star, baby, call me as soon as you get this, okay? But they soon become, Star, Amara, I know you're getting these messages. Call me. I'm not playing. They progress to, See, you've taken this too far. Carlos and I are heading out the door right now, and you better pray to God we don't find you. And on the last message left a few minutes ago, Mama says, Oh, so you can't return my calls, but you can lead protests, huh? Mama told me she saw you on live TV giving speeches and throwing tear gas at cops. I swear I'm gonna snatch your life if you don't call me.
We in deep shit, man, Devante says. Deep shit.
Seven glances at his watch.
Damn, we been gone about 4 hours.
Deep shit, Devante repeats.
Maybe the four of us can get a place in Mexico, says Chris.
I shake my head. Not far enough for our mom. Seven picks at his face. The milk has dried and formed a crust.
All right, we need to call them. And if we call from the office phone, Ma will see it on the caller ID and know we're not lying when we say we're here. That'll help, right?
We're at least 3 hours too late for any help, I say. Seven stands and gives me and Chris a hand up. He helps Devante off the bench.
Come on, make sure y'all sound remorseful, all right?
We head for Daddy's office. The front door creaks. Something thuds onto the floor. I turn around. A glass bottle with flaming cloth.
Woof!
The store is suddenly lit bright orange. A heat wave hits like the sun